break out your wireframes and heat up those Git repos. We're ready to tackle topics ranging from accessibility to front-end design, user experience, and beyond. You're listening to the Drunken UX Podcast with your hosts, Michael Feenan and Aaron Hill. Hello, everybody. This is the Drunken UX Podcast. I am your host, Michael Feenan, and this is episode number 114 for May number the 9. How are y'all doing?
Feliz 9 de mayo, Michael.
Who the hell is that? That can't possibly be my other host.
It's your other host. Hello, I'm Aaron, your other host.
I'll be damned. Host, you're going to be so excited because we are going to be taking a test tonight.
Yes.
We're going to see just how good you are at the scripts of Java.
I'm betting I fail, but barely.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It is absolutely going to be bad, and I am going to keep score. So we went out and found, just for anybody who's interested, because that's what this episode's going to be about, we found a couple little sites that had some JavaScript quiz questions, and these are partly designed as like, hey, these are the kind of questions you might get asked in an interview. The reality is,
no, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever going to ask you this in a technical interview.
No, these are questions designed, they're like the gotcha trivia questions.
Yeah,
like,
they are. There are like, some good gotchas.
A plane crashes on like the river between Kansas and Missouri. Where do you bury the survivors? Like, it's that kind of question.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you bury survivors?
It depends on.
Oh, they're survivors. You don't bury them. I got it. I'm Bingo. A winner. I thought it was going to be one of those questions about, like, you know, how many life vests do you need or something? And it's like, well, it's a river, not the ocean. So, well, the rivers can be deep. Anyway. So, yeah, these are JavaScript questions. And so I like it because it's going to give us a chance to actually talk about why some of these behaviors are, though. And so we're going to explain. We're not just going to take the quiz. We'll explain why are these things. And I think that's where the real value will come from in this.
I know that I bust on JavaScript a lot, and like, it's because of things like this. Like, why are you the way that you are?
Yeah, you can 100% make the same kind of quiz for PHP or Python. Like, they all have these kind of quirks.
I don't know if you can say they have these kind of quirks.
Oh, they do.
PHP has some idiosyncrasies.
Challenge accepted. Oh. Okay. Challenge. So we're going to do this for this episode on JavaScript. You should find some Ruby examples to do to me.
All right. I'll have to dig.
Go digging. Go do some Googling. I'm sure. I'll bet you there's a site just like this for Ruby. Before that, let's dive into what is on tap this evening with my friend and I. The reason why he is taking the quiz and not me is because I'm drinking Ardbeg Korivrekken. I may be dead by the end of this show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that goes without saying.
This is bottled at 56%.
Jesus.
It is effectively cask strength, although I don't think it's, like, actually marketed as cask strength, but it's strong. You've probably heard me say before, I don't really like Ardbeg a lot, because I don't like Islay scotches that much. Which has sort of an asterisk next to it, and I don't like Ardbeg 10 very much. I got into the Ardbeg Anno, which is going to be coming up on a future episode. I had it at a tasting event, and I really liked it. And I went, Ardbeg has some interesting things. And my friendly local neighborhood liquor store had this bottle of Korivrekken at it. And I'm like, interesting. I don't know anything about this. So I said, screw it. And I bought a bottle. This scotch is like a nuclear weapon going off in your mouth. It will, and I am not kidding you, it will numb your tongue. You have two glasses of this, and you can't taste anything else. Like, it is that strong. But it is so good. It doesn't lean as hard into that iodine flavor and those phenols that come out of like the normal Ardbeg 10 or like a Laphroaig.
Sure.
It hits hard on like uncracked peppers and like wet leather and steak. It's got like this thick, meaty quality to it, like a smoked brisket type of flavor to it.
Hmm.
It's laced with like a little bit of citrus, not much, just a little bit. It hits you pretty hard on the nose, but isn't like, it doesn't attack you. It's just strong. And it really, it's the kind of thing, like, I'll drink a glass or two of it, and that's all you need. But boy, does it, like, it gives you a lot to chew on, quite literally.
Hmm. I've got the Glenmorangie Nectar d'Or. Nectar d'Or.
Yeah, I don't know if it's d'Or, Dior. I don't know.
Dior. Yeah, it's D apostrophe O-R. Is that like Scotch saying nectar D apostrophe O-R?
Is it slang for gold, I think? I don't know.
Okay.
I think.
Well, anyways, it's very good. Mm-hmm. I think you've had it on the show before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my favorite Glenmorangie.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of great flavors. It's not too, like, excessive. Like, in all the ways that your scotch this evening is very potent, mine is not.
Yeah.
It's just a nice all-around good time.
I was right. It is gold, by the way. Gold nectar. Hmm. That's what it means. So, okay. Glenmorangie Nectar d'Or, or however you want to say that. It's finished in Sauternes casks, Sauternes wine. So, It gets this very, very high sweet. It's a very light, like a creme brulee, crispy sweetness along the top note.
I'm holding my glass up to the microphone so the audience can smell it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually, I didn't think about doing that with mine. Here, yeah. Everybody, here's the Kortebrekken. Just take a good whiff of that, right?
Take a deep whiff.
I wish we could figure out how to let them do a tasting through the microphone, though. I didn't pay for that USB connection though.
Yeah, mine's running through two different audio interfaces, so I'd probably lose it somewhere.
Yeah, the DA converter probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Plus, it's running through a Cloudlifter.
But that makes it more alcoholic.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it would like distill it further. Boy, you definitely shouldn't do that. Then you'll end up with like 80%.
Is this like the infinite chocolate thing? Can we make infinite scotch by pouring it through a microphone?
Like the Banachtarsky and paradox of scotch.
And like do it, you know, just run it through an amplifier and get more scotch. Is that how that works?
That would be great.
Well, here goes glass number two for me, by the way.
You're going to be toasted by the end of this.
It's going to be bad. Okay, so it's quiz day. You have arrived to class unprepared. You forgot there was a test. You didn't study. You don't even have your pencil sharpened, young man.
You're describing like school to me.
So
this is par for the course.
For the friendly listeners at home, I am sharing my screen with Aaron so that he can see these questions. I will describe them for you all to the best of my ability, and we will see what he has to say about things and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna start, and I'm gonna bounce. We've got two different examples of these quizzes. So I'm just going to kind of bounce between them because they're formatted pretty differently. And so just to break up the back and forth, we'll do the two different kinds here. And so we're starting with JavaScript quiz. This is a site, and we'll have a link in the show notes, made by Marco Denick and Oliver Jumperts out of, I believe, Austria, if my memory is correct on, that could be out anywhere. I don't know. But Marco is out of Austria for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver, I don't know. So Oliver, shout out to you though. So these two gentlemen made this site, and it's just got a very nice, simple multiple choice thing. I'm not going to read the multiple choice answers, even though Aaron can use them. And you just,
I'll read them.
Yeah.
I'll read them.
Okay. Yeah. And as I read the question, it's your job to see if you agree with Aaron or don't agree with Aaron, and then we'll go over the what and why. So the first question is, can you guess what will be the output of the code below? And the code is very simple. It's a console log statement that just says, type of NaN.
Yeah, so, I remember this question.
So first off, what is NaN?
NaN means not a number.
Not a number, okay.
And Type of is, it's like querying what the type of the argument is. The options that I have to pick from are NaN, number, null, and undefined. And the question is, there's two questions here. The first one is, what do I think the type of NaN is? And then the second question is, what do I think JavaScript thinks the type of NaN is?
So let me help everybody think through this, right? What does type of do?
If you had like a quote enclosed string, then it would be string. If you had the number 5 by itself, not in quotes, it would say number. I presume if you had an array, it would say array, but I don't know that for certain.
Word you're looking for is primitive, right? Like it returns what is the expression of this primitive?
Yeah, yeah, that would be accurate. I'm going to say, I want to either say undefined or null. Go with null.
I'm going to go with null. No, yeah.
It's a number.
It is a number.
Oh, fuck you, man.
Hey, not me. That's JavaScript.
No, like NaN literally means not a number, but it's the type of number. Like, oh.
The reason for this is a little complex and goes back to some stuff with floating point standards. The easy answer is that not a number is saying, hey, this thing is not a number.
Mm-hmm.
But because you expected it to be a number, the primitive that is assigned to it is one. So the expression of NaN sort of an abstraction of a number, even though it's three letters. And even though type of returns a string, that's the other thing to always know. Type of returns a string expression every time. So it's not literally returning a number. It's returning the word.
You know what this feels like? Since today is, when recording it, it's technically May the 5th, which is the Star Wars thing, right? May the 5th be with you. this feels like when fans of Star Wars talk about the whole parsecs thing from episode 4, when Han Solo was talking with Ben Kenobi. And he's saying how he did the Kessel Run in like so many parsecs, and then trying to say like explain it backwards, like oh yeah, he knew what he was talking about. He was just bullshitting or something. Like no, we're gonna all pretend that NaN is actually a number for this reason. But I think that really it's just like silly JavaScript behavior, and we're trying to justify it now.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's do another one. This one is, do you know what this what will output from this code? And now, it's console.log, type of, one. That's
right.
Literally two type ofs. Type of one.
But it's not just type of one. It's type of space one.
Yes.
So you already have an ambiguous argument. Because JavaScript likes to, like Ruby doesn't require you to use parentheses for argument lists. You can if it makes it less ambiguous. But JavaScript, you're supposed to. So it's weird to me that you wouldn't have that here.
Do you know why? Do you know why you don't use parentheses with type of?
No.
It's because technically type of is an operator. It's not a function.
Of course it is.
It's, yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. That's why.
Yeah. Of course it is. Okay, so I'm evaluating this right to left, and first type of one.
I'm why are you doing it right to left?
Like when you're, because I'm imagining even though we don't technically have parentheses in there, I'm imagining it that it works similar to a function where it'll evaluate, like okay,
kind of like a PEDMIS thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. So like you have type of the first type of is going to ask, hey, what do you evaluate to so I can get your type? And the second one's going to say, like, I don't know, hold on. Because
it has to query its arguments, and then we just keep going, just turtles all the way down. So because of that, I'm going to go right to left in this case. Kind of like you're stacking, you're pushing things onto the stack and then popping them off once you get to the end. So last in, first out. So I'm going right to left. So type of one, I'm going to give JavaScript a bone here and assume it will return number and not some weird shit. So number is technically like a class name, and I don't think that it would return as a string, but it might.
Primitive name.
Yes, yes.
I'm just reinforcing what we used from that first question. So
sure.
So yes, it would return a primitive name. We've assessed that.
Yeah. The question is, does type of primitive name return? Does it evaluate it to a string, or does it evaluate it in a different way? I don't know what different ways it would be. I'm going to say that it evaluates it as a string. So I'm going to guess string. String?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
do we get... can we do lifelines for the Ruby episode? And yes, you are correct, sir. Everybody applaud. Applaud. Michael. Future Michael, insert some applause here. Yes. So, yeah, you're right. So type of one is going to return number, but it's returning literally the string number.
Yeah.
I realize I gave you a hint to that when we were discussing the first question, that it returns a string representation of the primitive name. So yeah, right. Type of one comes back as number, and then type of quote number quote is string. Mm-hmm. So that is entirely correct.
Hooray. Oh God.
This one is fun. So console.log, okay, I think all of these are console.log for what it's worth. You're just trying to determine what the output of the expression is. So this is just an expression.
Right.
And it's a question of 3 greater than 2 greater than 1.
Yeah, 3 space greater than space 2 space greater than space 1.
And is it true or false?
Right. Okay, so similar to last time, I'm evaluating right to left. 2 is greater than 1, which is true. So the question is 3 greater than true? And I believe that's going to be false.
Going false?
Yeah.
False? Yeah. Yes. Except yeah. I do think you did it backwards, but you got to the right. The idea
Does it evaluate left to right?
So in this case, it actually evaluates, left to right. You went right to left again.
Oh, okay.
But because it's an evaluation.
Right.
The left side is evaluated first. So 3 greater than 2 is true, but true is not greater than 1 because true is not a number.
I guess the difference is that in the case of this with going left to right, you have all of the information necessary for the greater than operator to evaluate so it can just resolve. Whereas with type of, the first type of can't fully evaluate the second type of. Unless it called it an operator, I guess. I don't know.
So there is a secondary thing going on here, too, that's worth pointing out, which is because the greater than operator expects a number, it does try to cast what is there to a number. So strictly speaking, it's not evaluating true greater than 1. It's evaluating 1 greater than 1. Which is still false. Like that's still a false statement.
Oh, so I was, I guess right, but technically wrong.
Yeah, it's you're half right. I'm giving you the points on it though. So
I failed upwards.
But yeah, so you could rewrite that in a way where if it just, was greater just like, than I'm or like equal JavaScript. To, it would work.
I'm like JavaScript, Michael. I'm failing upwards.
Okay, you're 2 for 3. Let's keep going. Okay. All this right. one, console so log, one. String, the string prototype dot raw, and then a string literal of hello Twitter / in world. No spaces.
So, and it's wrapped in backticks.
And it's wrapped in backticks.
So I'm not familiar with that.
What we call a JavaScript. Template literal.
Okay.
It's just a way means. Of writing a JavaScript string that will evaluate what is inside of it. So you can do things like put a, you know, normally you would concatenate variables with like, you know, single quotes with a string and then a plus sign, your variable, and then a plus sign and more quotes. Well, with a template literal, you can just put a dollar sign, curly bracket, and your variable name inside your string, and it will just evaluate when.
And that's like double quotes in Ruby.
It's an ES6 thing that, you know, will get transpiled if you're using Babel or something, will handle making it like string concatenation. So.
So I didn't know that it would evaluate stuff. That might have changed my initial answer. What I see is I know what string is. Dot raw means that it's a like class method. In this case, it's like a utility method. The backticks, I'm presuming, is a means of like indicating a string argument. I think it's weird that you have neither a space after raw nor parentheses, but I'm just going to run with it.
Yeah, the syntax is a little unusual, but it is valid. The options here are important too.
Yes, yeah. So option one is no spaces, hello Twitter / n world. The second one is hello Twitter and then a carriage return world.
Why would there be a carriage return there?
Backslash n. New line. Yeah. The third one is hello Twitter space world. And the fourth one is hello space Twitter space world. So I know it's not the fourth one because there's nothing to indicate that there should be a space there for between both words.
Right.
The third one seems possible, and I have to think, would string.raw eliminate a backslash n and not evaluate it? And it's possible, but it seems unlikely. The second one, hello Twitter carriage return world, would mean that it's evaluating the string. Evaluating the backslash n, and my thinking here was that it's probably not because it's raw, and so usually when you do raw, it's wanting to take exactly what's in the thing, like as is, and not evaluate anything. So I'm going with the first one.
It is. Yes, that is the correct answer. I got to put on my game show voice this week. yeah, and so basically exactly what you stated, which is that dot raw takes a template literal and will process anything in it, but raw won't do any escape sequences like backslash in, and will just return what you have, basically. Right. It will evaluate variables if there was a variable in there, but it will not evaluate escape sequences.
Right.
Next five. Can you guess the result?
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so we have some parentheses. B plus A plus.
Oh, no. It's not B plus A. It's the string B.
Yeah, the literal. Plus. The actual string B plus the actual string A.
Plus. Space. Plus.
The string A plus the string A and then two lowercase.
Right.
And the answer is either banana. Banana or ananas.
All right. So again, process of elimination here. It's not ananas. That doesn't make any sense because why would you lose the B?
And add an S.
Right. The first one kind of clues me into like, oh, right. If we don't have an argument there, it might return not a number, right? And then being two lowercase, it would make the n's lowercase. And having two a's there also, you know, that would make sense. The second one is, I just presumed that not having an argument, assuming it evaluates, it'll just do the best that it can. The third one, even though I know that's the correct answer, I don't think it should be, and I'm not going to pick it. I'm not, there are four lights here. Four lights. So I'm going to pick the first one, knowing that it's wrong.
B-A-N-A-N-A-A.
Yes.
I made the same mistake. And I'm going for that.
Yeah.
When I did this, I made the same mistake.
Yeah. Can you do the why? I want to know where the last A goes.
Yeah. So I worked out basically the same thing, that the plus plus is going to generate an N-A-N error, so not a number.
To be clear, I wouldn't have guessed that it generates NaN. I'm inferring that because two of the options have NaN, and that makes a silly joke.
So, here's what happens. First off, you end up with B plus A, which is mm-hmm. BA.
Mm-hmm.
Then you end up with B plus plus the string A.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is where things are basically breaking, because plus plus string A, it, mm-hmm. it doesn't know how to evaluate that. And so you end up with NaN. It's saying, oh, this is not a number. You're trying to add A to nothing. So it's because nothing plus A equals not a number. So then so now you have BA plus NaN. So there's mm-hmm. your banan. And you've lost that second A. And then the last step is you add that last A. So now you have banana with two capital N's, and the two lowercase takes it all down to lowercase. So it's a case of the expression plus plus A. I thought when I was looking at this, I was like, well, plus plus, I just thought would evaluate to not a number because there was nothing in mm-hmm. there. But I forgot right. to take it as a whole expression. What it's actually right. doing is trying to add plus plus A to the BA, and it drops.
Is this your king, people?
This is a weird, like, I don't know how you could, I mean, everybody's got code for something. I don't know why you would run into it, something like this, but it's an interesting mm-hmm. understanding of how string concatenation works, basically. Mm-hmm. And how you're using a plus symbol to concatenate strings.
Yeah.
But if you do it wrong, it does evaluate to numbers.
It's like it
defaults to a math operator when it can't figure something out.
So in Ruby, you would get something like this. You'd probably get you'd get an argument error because you need to have. I'm pretty sure you get an argument error because you need to have something there. But generally speaking, what it would probably do otherwise in other situations is it would try to evaluate. It would presume that since a string is calling the operator after it, or a string is calling the method after it, that you're going to want to have a string as the result. So it wouldn't infer that you wanted a number there.
Okay, so the next one here, this one's got a couple lines. First, we have mm-hmm. an array. Let array equals mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. An array, 1, okay. 2, 3. And yes. then we say array index 6 equals 9.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yes. then we say array index 5.
Right. The first statement, let array equals, and then it's array short notation 1, 2, 3. That's straightforward. I know that's valid.
What is array 2?
Array 2 would be 3 because yes. it's 0 indexed. Yes. So array 6 equals 9. So I was leaning on my JavaScript experience that I'm pretty sure that it treats arrays more like hashes or like dictionaries.
Right.
Than actual arrays, like how you would in C or C++, where you have allocated memory. And so I was going on a limb that I think line 2, where it says the sixth index of array, assign 9 to that. I'm assuming that it's going to allow that and just say, okay, here you go. And, you know, we're going to go ahead and assign that. So array 5, nothing has been assigned to it. I'm going to go with undefined.
Undefined is the correct yeah. answer. So, yeah, we end up, because it basically backfills the rest of your indexes with undefined values. Oh,
it does.
Values.
So it does actually treat it like a proper
array. Yeah, yeah. So it, okay. it will backfill those arrays, and it will also increase the length. Like, if you did a length on that, it would yeah. return length 7.
See, I wouldn't have assumed that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it tries, yeah, it does. In that sense, it does allocate all the rest of the indices up to that point. Okay. You know the output of this code.
Okay. This one says the number 1, so it's a number primitive.
An actual number.
Plus quotes 2 plus quotes 2.
Yes.
I think that 1 plus a string representation of the number 2 would probably evaluate to not a number. And then you would have not a number, which we know from question 1 is considered to be a number. even though we don't want it to be one. And then you can have that plus a string. So I'm going to go with not a number.
Yeah, and you're getting it wrong right now. Boom. Yeah, yeah, it's 122. Yeah.
Oh, really? Holy shit.
Yeah, because, and here's the whole reasoning why. It will, when it goes to figure out what it needs to do, rather than failing, it will say, oh, no, we have two objects here that we can do something with. And because I don't know what the string is, even though it could conceivably try to like do a two integer on it or something, it will treat the number as a string and concatenate them. And then the two plus two is just a straight string concatenation then. So you get 122. But it is the string representation of 122, not a number representation of 122.
So it's coercing based on the arguments you're passing to it?
Basically.
That's like reverse duck typing.
I didn't write the runtimes and define that's how like, they are supposed to work.
That's like it barks and it has fur, but you feed it duck food, therefore it must be a duck.
Okay, next one. This is such a trap question, and explaining why is going to be fun. Point one.
Okay. We have the primitive float. 0.1
plus 0.2
primitive float, and then equals 0.3. Primitive float 0.3, 0.3. True or false? I would say that would evaluate true, but because we're in topsy-turvy JavaScript world, I'm going to assume that it's going to interpret it in the weirdest way possible, and that what it's going to do is it's going to evaluate like 0.1 plus false.
Imagine that instead of 0.1 plus 0.2, imagine it was just 1 plus 2,
1 plus 2
equals 3. Equals 3. Is that true or false?
Right. Like I said, in the normal world, that should evaluate left to right, and it would be 1 plus 2 is 3, and then equals 3.
Right.
But because this is JavaScript,
is that true it's going to
do
then?
Things. Oh, it should be true.
So it should be true. Yeah, so 0.1 plus 0.2 equals 0.3. Should be true.
Ostensibly,
I don't know why I'm helping you. You're working through this. Keep going.
Wait, I'm opening up a Ruby console.
No, don't do that. Don't cheat.
I'm not cheating.
Actually, this problem should be in Ruby too. Can we get a meme? Can we get like the angry why you know guy meme with 0.1 plus 0.2?
Yes. I picked false because I was like, this has to be dumb.
Yeah.
It has to be ridiculous, and so that's why it's going to be
went false. So false is correct.
It was like a spiteful correct answer, though.
So
why?
The whole reason behind this just goes back to like the general problem with floating point math, which it is 2022, and it turns out we are still terrible at floating point math.
What's this Wii business? You got a mouse in your pocket?
Yes,
there?
The industry, the computer world, the JavaScript engine world.
You've got a screenshot right there in the channel that shows you that it's been addressed.
Fake language, fake language.
Get on my level, man.
So, yeah, strictly speaking,
wow.
In JavaScript, 0.1 plus 0.2 equals 0.30000000000000004.
Yeah, of course it does.
So
why wouldn't it?
This comes back to a problem that is based in floating point math, basically. Floating point math is not precise. It's not accurate because we are what's the word I'm looking for? We are faking it with electricity, as it were. So what you have to do, there are a few different things that you can do here. What some people will do is, if you need very, very precise math, multiply it out to integers. So in this case, take it times 10. So you would say 1, now we would be in 1 plus 2 equals 3, and that is true. And if you needed to output that, you would then divide it by 10. That's the easy solution. If you're dealing in currency, this is an obvious problem.
Actually, that's a really good point.
This is the Superman 3 problem, right?
Right, exactly. When I've done Rails apps where we've done e-commerce transactions, it is like the best practice is you always store dollar values in cents.
Yes.
It's like it's a predictable calculation. You never need fractions of cents.
Smallest common denominator.
Right. And you just always track it in cents. And then that way, when you have to present it to the user, you just, you know, divide it by 100. But that avoids, that completely sidesteps any possible floating point issues.
The other thing you can do is run a two-fixed. The number primitive has a method called two-fixed, which is basically a rounding operator that will return a precision of however many decimals that you've placed. So that is another way to evaluate it. The thing is,
you know what?
Two-fixed returns a string. Just know that.
I stand corrected. I did earlier, the screenshot I sent you was 1 plus 2 equals 3. But if I do 0.1 plus 0.2, oh, well, hold on. I did 3. Let me try it with 0. Oh, still value. Yeah, so it's still 0.1 plus 0.2 still does that long string you just shared with the 4 on the end. And 0.1 plus 0.2 equals 3 evaluates to false in Ruby as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, because this isn't a JavaScript problem. This isn't a Ruby problem. This is a floating point math coprocessor on the CPU problem kind of thing.
But interestingly, 1.0 plus 2.0 equals 3.0 evaluates to true.
Yes, because 0 doesn't... It truncates it to 1 plus 2 at that point.
Sure.
So the last thing I'll throw out there about this, because Aaron, I know you're probably old enough for this. Remember when it became a really huge deal when CPUs got dedicated coprocessors, math coprocessors, floating point coprocessors? Yeah. Like that was a thing. And there was at one point you could buy daughter boards for like old 386s and 486s to add a floating point processor specifically.
I did that.
So all of you people younger than the age of 30, you're welcome.
I did just also check 1.1 plus 2.1 equals 3.2 evaluates to true.
Okay. All right. Ninth question. We have two constants. I'm setting two constants. Right. One constant is called is true. The other one is called is false. The first one is equal to true. Equals an empty array. The other one is equal to true equals not an empty array.
So the first one, the variable name is true.
Is true.
Or sorry, the constant name. And the second one, the constant name is false.
And then the output is what is true plus is false.
Oh God. Okay, so I actually don't know what the behavior will be, but I'm gonna like
walk us through it.
I'm gonna infer some things here. So logically, true equals an empty array and true equals not an empty array. One of those is going to evaluate to false, I'm presuming. If it doesn't evaluate to true or false, I don't have any idea what it's going to be.
Can I have you walk through a Boolean process, right? In terms of when you think about what means true and what means false, what would cause one of those to be true and one of those to be false?
Oh, I have no idea. I could guess maybe
maybe
an empty array might evaluate to false because it's empty.
And so if you have sometimes true equals false, you get.
Then you would get false.
Right.
And then true equals if the not the bang, the exclamation point means not.
Yeah.
And so you would have true equals not false.
So what does a bang true do?
Inverts.
It inverts the Boolean value. There you go. Yeah.
Also, there a lot of times the bang will not only invert it, it will also coerce it into being a Boolean. So there's a trick in Ruby, and I think you can do this in other languages too, where you do double bang and then do something, and that coerces whatever it is into being like a firm Boolean.
So you've got four options here. None of them are false, though.
Yeah. Right. So we have 1, 0, quotes, true, and then actual true, literal like the true Boolean value. I like how the third one is quotes, true. It's like scare quotes saying like, yeah, true.
Yeah.
So my initial thinking is that one of those two constants is going to evaluate to false and one is going to evaluate to true. And I'm inferring that because they're the same with the exception of the Boolean inverter. The weirdest possible circumstance I could think of where this would be true, or sorry, where this would work, is that the first one evaluates to, let's say, like undefined or something, and then the latter gets coerced into being a Boolean because of the inversion operator. So I think they're like, if you take a Boolean true plus a Boolean false, or a Boolean true plus whatever, undefined or something, both of those are going to be weird. I'm sad that not a number isn't an option, because I feel like this would be a good place for that. I don't think it's one. It's probably not zero. I'm going to pick Boolean true, because I think that's the most ridiculous possible answer.
Okay, Boolean true. Oh, my friend.
Zero.
Yeah, it's zero. Wow. Yeah, because remember, Booleans evaluate to zeros and ones, and what's happening in the console log? Remember, what does the plus sign default to? It's a math operator.
I have no idea. Yeah.
So it is immediately it coercing. I think you used that word just a second ago. It coerces the Boolean values into zeros and ones. And you were absolutely right in that these are backwards. The is true equals false, and is false equals true because of the bang.
Okay, so they both did evaluate to
Booleans. An empty array comes back as false. And so true doesn't equal false. And so an empty, the opposite of an empty array is true. So true equals true.
More importantly, like true, I mean, both of those could evaluate to false because true doesn't actually equal either of them. True is not an empty array, nor is it not an empty array.
So Ruby knows true and false, right? Like that's the thing. Does Ruby have...
And actually... True and false are instances of true class and false class.
Okay. Does Ruby have an understanding of truthy and falsy, if I say it that way?
Yes.
So
there are truthy and falsy.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's happening here, in that you can set a variable to an empty array, and it's not undefined, it's not null, it's an empty array. But that still evaluates in the context of a Boolean to false, because an empty array is nothing.
Right. An empty array is like, it's the sad value.
Yeah.
I think of truthy and falsy as like happy and sad. Like a truthy value is like a positive number, not because it's like positive is happy, but just like you have something. Yes, I have something I can work with. Whereas like zero or empty or nil are all false because it's, you know, it's empty, it's gone.
Yeah, and this is actually a really good example. I'll, there's an MDN doc on this that gets into, like, what is truthy, right? And so the list of what is truthy is huge. Like, it's long. The list of what is falsy is very short. So it's one of those things of, like, or rather, I should say that backwards. A lot of stuff is truthy. Very few things are falsy. But when you evaluate it, it's the opposite. Which I know sounds like it doesn't make sense, because Quarry of Wrecking is also the name of a whirlpool up in Scotland in a bay, and it's spinning my head around right now. No, it's just this notion that there's a very finite list of things that can be false.
Mm-hmm.
But that very finite list of things can also encompass a lot of stuff, so to speak.
Yeah.
False, zero, negative zero, zero in, empty strings, empty arrays, null, undefined, NaN. It comes back up.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's got a value, a string value, a number value, an instance of an object, even if it's empty, an instance of an object is truthy. So it's this notion of a Boolean true or false is a literal either zero or one or true false. That's it. Those are literal true false Booleans. Truthy and falsy basically is sort of like an is set or is not set kind of mindset.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so
yeah.
this question is playing with that idea. And so if we know that an empty array is falsy and returns false, true equals false is false. And not false is true. It's like multiplying two negative numbers, right? A negative plus mm-hmm. or a negative times a negative is a positive. And so a false false is true. And so true equals true. And you end up with, when you do that additive action on the console log, zero mm-hmm. plus zero equals one.
Right.
There's zero. God, I'm all over the place. All
right.
One more.
Yes.
We have the last question on deck. I'm really glad this came up as the last question because it's kind of fun. You're going to complain, but it does make sense in its own way. So what we have is an array called mm-hmm. numbers. And in that numbers array are only three numbers.
No. It's not just an array. It's a constant.
Yes.
That's what I overlooked the first time.
It's not being manipulated.
Right.
And the numbers in the array are 33, 2, mm-hmm. and 8.
And they are all primitive numbers. They're all just plain numbers.
Old numbers.
No funny business.
Then we do a numbers.sort, which right. is a prototype method on the array primitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we log out index 1. Numbers. Right.
And so I got this one correct. And afterwards, I was like, that was easy. Why is that one supposed to be puzzling or whatever? And I mean, the answer is 8, which would be the second element of a zero indexed array. Now, looking at it now, seeing that it's a const, I probably would have hoped that it was 2.
Do you want to rethink
something
that?
Like this?
You want to go, I think you want to go back and redo what you just said.
I swear I answered 8 earlier and it was correct. Or actually, no, wait. No, I answered 33. Oh,
damn it. I shouldn't have said anything. I should have let you ride.
No. But like thinking about that now, like, why did I answer 33?
Okay, no, that's, I think we should go with the wrong answer, which is 8. That is the wrong answer.
Yeah.
Tell us why do you think it's 8?
Oh, because if I'm assuming that, like, there's some like meta reasoning happening here. Like, this quiz is full of gotchas.
No, not what the quiz is doing. Tell me why you think it's 8.
Well, I don't. Seeing that it's a constant, I don't think it should be 8. I think it should be 2.
What if I told you the fact that it's a constant makes no difference whatsoever?
Then what is even the point of anything? Like, why? If you can, like, if I. Here's a good example. If I set a constant, if I'm getting API data back from like an AJAX request, and I'm like, okay, it's very important that this array of data is in the order that it's in because it's like test answers or something. And so the sequence is very important. And I make it a constant, and then something somehow manages to run sort on it. I would not want that to be actually sorted.
Yeah. So I guess we need to have an episode about how constants in JavaScript are not constants in the way that you think they are.
Of course they're not.
Constants do not refer to a value that is unchanged in JavaScript. It's a reference that is unchanged. In this case, it's an array. And because it is an array, it is constant.
Right. So you couldn't assign something else to, like, if you did const numbers equals an array of 33, 2, and 8. You couldn't later on say numbers equals 5.
Right. Or numbers equals, quote, numbers, quote.
Right.
I love it. This is the best question to end on. So let's go back. So if I tell you the word, the assignment of a constant to numbers is
mm-hmm.
absolutely irrelevant. There is one in the next set of questions where does matter. And so that'll be fun. But it could be it could be let. Numbers equals 33 to 8. Then we sort those.
I know that I got this one right.
But why? The first time. Why did and you so get it right?
Because I didn't see const. And so I thought it was just a very...
You
was
got like, it right on accident. First,
yeah.
So what is your answer on like, purpose?
I think it was the first question. And so I didn't know these were going to be gotchas. I thought it was a nice quiz. I think that what I would expect it to be is 2, because I would expect the array to be immutable.
Okay. So, you think line 2 does nothing.
Secretly, I'm pretty sure it's actually 8.
Yeah, I mean, the answer is, yeah, not 2, obviously.
Right. But I'm afraid that's going to be 33.
So, you are right. I mean, you're wrong, but you're right. You know what? No, you're not getting credit for this question. You're getting it wrong because you don't know why you got it right in the first place. And I'm the greater. And I've had 3 glasses of Corey Vreckin. I'm sweating and unbuttoning buttons.
We're using JavaScript. It's all about failing upward tonight.
So you said 2?
I said I want that to be 2, even though I know
it's wrong. 33.
Yeah, fucking 33. Why? What the hell?
Let me pass that to you.
No.
What? No. I want to see if because use your primitive brain. That's not an insult. Why would 33 in an array of 33, 2, and 8, if you sort that array, in what condition would 33 end up at index 1? And as a reminder to everybody, indexes start at 0. So we're talking about the middle index. Right, this
would be the second one. Yeah.
Let me do this. Is the order 8, 33, 2, or 2, 33, 8? If you run a sort on that, which one of those is right? This is like a bonus. This is your extra credit question.
Okay. Yeah, it should be 2, 8, 33.
No. We know it's not. You know 33 is the middle number. We know this for a fact. So it's either 2, 33, 8, or 8, 33, 2. Which one?
Yeah, but see, you're asking me, like, which one do I think it is? And I'm trying to apply reason to this. Like, if I ran sort, this is what I would expect it to do. If we're saying that, like,
if you run sort and you know the middle number is 33, you know it can only be one of those two.
Look, there are 4 lights.
I love this episode so much already. Which
I refuse to accept the premise that sort should return 33 as the middle number.
When you hear why, it's going to blow your mind. It won't.
No, but I promise it won't.
2338 or 8332? Which one?
2338.
Okay. So let's assume that's right.
No reason why.
Well, that,
just in the interest of advancing.
Let's assume that's right.
Okay, yeah.
Now, logic it out. Why would 33 come before 8 if the order is 2, 33, 8?
Oh, God. I get it. Because it's reading them as a string.
Yes! I don't have to add in applause. I'm doing it myself. That is exactly why.
That is the dumbest thing.
So,
how on earth?
Because an array can have anything
powering in it. How is powering so much of the internet? Right, but why does it not automatically apply? Like, I could see it being like 33 first, because maybe like sort defaults to descending instead of ascending. I'll give you that. But it should be evaluating it as integer primitives because they're coming in as integer primitives.
Let me give you an example that might ring true for you in as to why this is the case. Have you ever had a folder full of like maybe old MP3s that are like badly named with like artist track number type stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it starts sorting a bunch of your songs and the songs that are in the, you know, the tens show up before the 2.
Right.
Because it's 2 song name, but it's evaluating the ones first.
Sure, but in that case though, you're dealing with a file name which is coming in holistically as a string.
Right. But the array has the same problem because the array doesn't know what data types are going to come into it. So they have a good example here of an array that has a string 1, a Boolean true, a number 55, a float of 1.421, a string of foo, and an empty object. And it's like, if you run sort on that, what would happen?
Yeah. Okay, so in that case, I think that you go with whatever, like, in that case, it makes sense to go with whatever primitive type is the one of the first element. And so, like, comparing them all as strings. But if you have an array that's all integer primitives, it should evaluate it, like, as integer primitives and not as strings.
Coulda, shoulda, don't. Welcome to JavaScript. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break for about 5 seconds. We'll be right back.
Oh, what was my score? Wait. What was my score?
Wait. All right. Is everybody ready for Aaron's final score? Because I'm ready to give it.
Okay, so I believe that I said I would fail, but barely. No,
you passed. You got a 60%.
Really? That passes?
I mean, isn't that a D? I think that's like the lowest D you can get.
I think a 60 is an F, isn't it?
It's been a minute since I've been in school, but no, I think a 60 is a D. I'm going to... A, B, C, D, that's 4 units. Yeah. So...
Okay.
Let us know.
I think my school did 65... 65 was a cutoff point for failing, I think.
My problem is, there are a limited number of questions in this test, and so I'm going to tell you, go take this test, let us know what your score is, but you will get a lot of the same questions, undoubtedly, so you've probably heard some of the answers, so pretend like you don't, and just try, or wait a couple days. Wait a couple days after this episode, then take the test and see what score you get and share it with us. But this is fun. This is fun stuff to, like, figure out the idiosyncrasies of, like, how code evaluates. And it's important because I think at some point we all fall into one of these traps of stuff not evaluating the way we think it does. You know?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely had to step through some JavaScript code with watching variables and everything to figure out why something is behaving the way it is. And then yeeting my keyboard across the room and screaming audibly.
That last chunk about how, you know, an array sort, how sort evaluates everything as a string before it sorts. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of those things that, man, until you ran into it, it's just not expected.
If you have an array in Ruby, if you have 1, 2, 3 in an array and you sort it, if you have 2, 33, 8 in an array and you sort it, it puts it 2, 8, 33.
Don't be fancy with me, come on.
If you do like ADE, each has strings, and you sort it, or AED, and you sort them, it'll make ADE as the result. If you do an A string, (2, 33), and you sort it, it throws a argument error because it doesn't know what
to do. Oh, interesting.
So it just fails.
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. It takes the opposite approach, whereas JavaScript basically forces the casing to strings to sort it for you. Ruby says, oh no, we just can't do that. That's
interesting.
I think
that I figured out the fundamental difference here, and that it's like it's reverse duck typing. It's like you're getting duck food, so I guess you're a duck, rather than you're behaving like a duck, so that means you're a duck.
Interesting. Well, take your test.
There are 4 lights, Michael. 4 lights.
Listen. I know this reference. I respect this reference. And for that, you can take us out on social.
Come and tell us how many lights there are on Twitter or Facebook.com/DrunkenUX, or see pictures of 4 lights. Is there
or primitive cursors or precursors? No, I'm sorry, it was precursor.
On Instagram.com/DrunkenUX podcast. And please,
that was a good joke.
come and support the show and help us pay for transcripts at drunkenux.com/support, which will redirect you to our Patreon.
Folks, I hope you enjoyed this. There's going to be a second part to this. This is officially part one. There is another section of these things I think will be fun, and I can't wait to go through them because I had a lot of fun in this show. I just poured myself another glass of Corey Brecken. This is probably a terrible decision on my part, but I'm doing it because A, it's delicious. B, I'm hot.
That's like eating airport food at the destination airport.
Oh, you know, I used to do that in Boston because it was the first sushi restaurant I hit, and it probably was terrible, but it was still better than Kansas sushi. So I still always stopped there and got sushi. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you keep your personas close and your users closer. Bye bye.
See ya.